we're doing the message just return or repent. And what I began to realize as I was seeking the Lord this morning was, I don't think I began to realize it, but I was reminded that God does everything he does out of love. Correction comes out of love. Rebuke, love. When we fall into the hand of the enemy and we find ourselves in catastrophe because of, as Jeff was talking about earlier, willful and hard-hearted decision, we could find ourselves now in the middle of some kind of calamity. But even in that, God still loves you and is trying to woo you back or save you or correct you or to bring you back to the place where you can experience his goodness without all these issues. Standing in faith, I've learned, and I'm learning, and it's interesting Jeff brought this point up today. It's not an act of will. It's an act of love, and it's supposed to be an act of the Spirit. And a lot of times we say we're taking a stand of faith. I rebuke this, I don't receive that. And it's so funny, you meet people and you've probably been this person, I receive that in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're gonna receive that because it's not coming from love. It's not coming from a heart of care. Even if somebody says something I don't receive, I'm supposed to be able to say, well, I respect and understand where you stand, but I don't receive that for me. That's not the way I serve my God, but I respect your position. And with a compassion toward the person that's wrong and that you don't agree with. So I begin to look over the notes and what I've taught so far. And the Lord led me to go back, cover some ground, and then bring it home. So here's what I want to do. I want to go back to Psalms 107, please. And let's look at a couple of verses that God is bringing home. And I want you to see in all of this, repenting and turning, how the love of God is present and evident and the motivating factor for us even repenting and even being sorrowful. It should be done with a full understanding of God's love, not guilt, not pity. God's love is what brings healing. I was looking at the scripture this morning where it said Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. I found that interesting. It didn't say moved with power. It didn't say moved with authority. It didn't say moved with who he was and the Godhead. It said he looked on the crowd and he was moved with compassion and he healed the multitude. And I begin to realize, once again, God, it comes down to your love. It comes down to your compassion. Even the correcting word is still out of your love to see us in the place that you called us to and see the full manifestation of your goodness. Can anybody understand what I'm saying right now? So now, let's go to Psalm 107, starting at verse 10. It says this: some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Stop. Sat in darkness, and some in utter darkness, like prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plan of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, and he broke their chains. Stop. This is a willful act to go against God. This is intentional. This is not, I didn't realize, This was, no, I realize it's wrong, and I don't care. I'm going against God. There's a difference. They wound up in a state of suffering and misery. They wound up slaves in some cases in this situation. Bitter. And slavery to me, from the spirit realm, is not what happens to you physically. It's what happens to you spiritually, and then it translates or it manifests itself physically. So rebellion, internal slavery, external slavery. They cried to God because they're in utter darkness now. And he brought them out of darkness. He brought them out of utter darkness. He broke away their chains. And here's the verse that I didn't pay attention to before. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Let's give thanks to him for loving us so much that even when we willfully go against his will, when we repent with a right heart, he still cares. So that means the pain and suffering that we go through, no, God has a plan. He did it for a reason. No, he said, you make decisions against my will, which caused that judgment. It is what it is. But the issue is not the judgment, which is what the church seems to focus on. We say, well, God is judging for a reason. No, God is trying to get you back to the place where he can love you again. And when he can, let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds toward mankind. So he really wants to love us, and he wants to do great things, wonderful deeds for me, always, all the time. That's the God I serve. Somebody should be able to say amen for that right now, because we know all of our deeds are not great, and we know that all of our decisions are not righteous. And we know that sometimes we make decisions in defiance of the truth that we know. We all do. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he said, even in that, God's deeds toward mankind are wonderful. They're marvelous deeds. And he wants us to come to the place of restoration so that he can get back to the place that suits him best. And the place that suits God best is being God, who is love. Love is God. God is love. God, I guess the revelation that became strong to me is God wants to love me. And I've been saying for years, I'm sure you say that, God loves me. The Lord loves me. I love the Lord. We used to sing, yes, Jesus loved me, for the Bible tells me so. That's not enough. I don't want to know he loves me because the Bible tells me so only. I want to know he loves me because I live it experientially. And I'm coming to the realization that he does love me, not just because the Bible tells me so, not because I choose to believe it, but because he is love. And everything he does for me is out of love to return me to his love, even when I choose to. So let's give thanks to the Lord for his, the key word, unfailing, a love that never fails. We'll talk about love today if you haven't figured it out. I never paid attention to unfailing love. I don't know about you. I don't have unfailing love. I just don't. It's times I can love somebody or think I love them and they can do something really heinous or disrespectful. And all of a sudden, I'm questioning whether I love them or not. Usually when we come to our senses, we say, well, yeah, it wasn't that bad, or we're going to let it go, or we're going to forgive, you know, kind of, sort of. But God's love doesn't fail. That means no matter what our state is, he loves us. That means, and I've said this before, but it just has a different meaning to me today. There's nothing that I can do to make God love me more. So I need to stop trying. But then the reality on the other side, there's nothing I can do to make him love me less. God's love is unfailing. Amen. Whew. Unfailing. Can I love anything without fault or failure? I think about my grandkids, and I see, like, the little ones now, Sita and Izzy. And they just, you just love them. And no matter what they do, you just, oh, they're so cute. And he's all over the place. And Izzy can be everywhere. And just like a little munchkin. But that's my little dude. That's my grandson. And grandpa can do that. Just love grandpa. Grandpa loves them. Even they get mad, have an attitude. It's just, you even when you correct them, they just so cute. Then they get older. And then they start having an opinion. They start talking back. And they start acting like they can act. You don't think they're so cute anymore. You know. You still love them? Yes. Unfailing? I don't know today. Then they become adults. You know. Now it's confrontation at times. Now you start to realize you have to grow into a different kind of love. Because now they are adults and they are adults and they are set in their way and they're set in their opinion and they know what they have. And you have to learn and realize I have to love them, I have to respect them, I have to come to understand them for who they are, not for what I think love is, the reciprocal feeling that I send it to you and you come back to me in total agreement all the time. And I remember somebody, I won't mention the name from the church, was saying like they had to learn. I remember like I really liked their mom. They didn't like their mom too tough. And I was like, no, but you. And they would come to me and tell me stuff that their mom would say about me. You know, that wasn't so nice and so flattering. But God just gave me a heart. And I kept going, no, but she took care of you, though. She raised you and she may have had some screwed up stuff in her own life that made her act like that. And it may make her act like that toward me. And she may have a thing toward men and it seems like she does, but you ain't gonna make me not love her. Like it's something about her. And I realized it wasn't something about her. It was something about God. It was something about God and me and the love that God put in my heart toward her that I could not dislike her. And I stood in that place. And as time went on, I realized it was God. I got to a place that I wasn't in that grace anymore. And then if I heard something was said, I was like, you know, I can't stand. I don't like this chick so much. You know, so I know that the love I'm asking you to have toward others is not something that's birthed out of you. It's something that's birthed in you by God. He puts a love in you. His love is manifested in our heart, the scripture says. And then all of a sudden, we begin to love people, not out of an emotional love. That's fine. Not out of a personal preference love. That's great, but out of this God love that makes us just love, even if we don't at the moment like, we care. You offended me. I'm gonna pray for you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. God, how do you do that? This has been my prayer this past week. How do I like those that are not likable? How do I love those that I choose not to love? There are people that I just, at this point in my life, I would rather not see them. And it's so funny, Angela and I were talking and she said to me about certain people, well, you know, we got to get along with them because we're going to spend eternity with them. And I said, I'm going to avoid them in heaven. If I see them, I'm going to go the other way. You know, it was just this thing like, how do you love those who can show themselves unloving? And this is what God showed me. He said, it's an unfeeling love. And that love only comes through me. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that in your own spirit. You can't do that on your own will. That's emotional love. That's phileo. That's eros. That's whatever you want to call it. But if you surrender to me, it's agape. And the love you begin to show is birthed out of the spirit of God in you. And that love you don't even have control over. You're compelled to love. You're compelled to forgive. You're compelled to like. You're compelled to understand and relate to the misgivings of others. That's the God love. It's an unfailing love. I don't know about you, but I'm seeking God for that in this season of my life. And I pray this the same for you. Let's move down to verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. And here we go again, because of your ways, not because God, because of our ways. They loathed or fooled and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let us give thanks to the Lord again for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Wow. I'm just going to worship the Lord today and praise the Lord for his blessings. He's been so good to me, and he's given me this, and he's opened that, and he answered my prayer. And I prayed for a new job, and I prayed for a raise, and I prayed for this, and God did that. And you know what you're saying? Let me love God because he did something for me. And what the scripture is saying here is, let us love God or praise God because of his unfailing love. Whatever God did for you, he didn't do it for you out of obligation of a father to do something for you, because if he didn't, he would be taken to court for child neglect. He did it out of unfailing love for you. Everything God does for you is out of his unfailing love. So next verse says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with joy and song. So let me put this, my scripture down for a minute, and let me talk to praise and worship and all the rest of you who serve God in any kind of way. So that means when you sing songs, it's not because it's time to do praise and worship and you got the songs up to sing. It's not you get up there and every now and then you sing a few songs and you get emotional and you feel it. Oh, I felt this presence and the chill came all over me and I couldn't help myself. Okay, that's nice. But he said, even when you offer worship, even when you give your offerings, don't give offerings because it's time to give offerings. I know I'm supposed to give a tenth. Oh boy, here we go. I can't afford to do it, but I'm afraid not to. He said, no, offer this joy to me because you come to the place of understanding my unfailing love toward you. It should come from a place that overflows out of me and you, that we have come to the revelation that God, you love us. And even when we willfully turn our backs, you say, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they should be as white as snow. That God's heart and God's love for me is so white hot, it's so strong that every move he makes, every breath he takes, he's watching me. He wants me to get back to the place that he can continue to pour his love on me. When I leave the place that God has called me to be, when I'm in rebellion, when I'm willfully acting against him, up until now, I thought I was in a bad place with God, and judgment followed. And then I corrected myself, I repented, or I cried out, I sang some songs and worshiped him and fast or whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm back in a good place with God. Am I the only person who has thought that? If you have, you can use one of the reactions on the screen or say yes, if you bear witness with what I'm saying. I thought that me and God now were in a, not that he didn't love me. You know, we said, no, we know God loves me, whatever we do. But we're in a bad place with him. Well, unfailing love says that's never true. We're never in a bad place with God. We move to a bad place within ourselves. And so we move ourselves out of the way to receive his love. I don't know if you're catching this, God. Help me say this in a way that they get it. Even when you make willful wrong decisions, you're not in a bad place with God. His love is unfailing. You are in a place now that you can't receive. That's a good definition. Those of you who like to cook and like to cook full meals or like to cook for the family or get invited to places where people love to cook. I got an even better one. a restaurant that's open 24 hours a day. And they say to you, food is here, it's free, it's cheap, whatever the case may be, it's your favorite restaurant. Just because you don't go don't mean the food is not there. Just because you haven't eaten there in a month doesn't mean the food is not there. It's there. You're just not in a place where you can receive that food. Once you return, the flow is endless. Free refills, go back to the buffet and eat as much as you want. It's yours. You've been moved from that place by the decision you made where you can't receive that love. But the love is still there and it's flowing in abundance. It's unfailing. Or can you hear me today? The flow is abundant. It's unfailing. I have to bring myself back to the place that is there. So now that I'm coming to this revelation, I'm saying, okay, God, you love me always, always. I have to be in the place in my heart that I'm able to receive that unfailing love that's mine all the time. So when you sing and when you worship, don't worship to feel his love or to feel his presence. It's there all the time. Do it as a thanks for that unfailing love. And watch how much quicker you get into his presence when you do. Amen. I can't hear you guys anymore, so I'm just going to believe that you're saying amen. Let's move on, because this is where it gets interesting. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, and I want to go over that with you. And I want to look at that for a second. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. I won't be long today, but I will be strong. Amen. Still a little Jesse Jackson on me. I won't be long, but I will be strong. Verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I return unto you, says the Lord Almighty. But you will ask, how would I return? Will a mere mortal or would a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you ask how I'm robbing you. In tithes and offerings. You are under the curse, this whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me with this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you do not have room enough to store it. And I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops and the vines of your field, and will drop it, and when they will not drop their fruit before the time, says the Lord Almighty. The nation will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I have read that. I've heard preachers use that every time it's time for an offering. It's like, you already know, here comes with a man rob God scripture, right? Okay, kind of semi-guilty, you know, kind of sometimes encouraging why you should do it, what the case may be. But this time, I saw something different. I went back to how that whole subject started, and we made it about the offering and the tithe as the point, but it's not about that primarily at all. He's talking about ways that you willfully got away from me and got yourself away from seeing the love and the blessing and the unfailing love, but this is still going back to the love of God. I will prove it. Go back to verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Who's talking? I heard you, even though I didn't hear you. Yes, the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. So this is him speaking. So you and the descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Right away, unfailing love. I'm giving you this, and I'm showing where you got now my will, because I'm trying to keep you from being destroyed. Everything he does is motivated by love. everything. I mean, I always got to the will of man rob God. He's like, no, it ain't about you and your money and your time and your opinion. You robbed me. I'm trying to show you the different ways you get outside of my will. This happens to be one. The bottom line is I'm trying to keep you from being destroyed. It's right there. And I missed it all these years. So that you and your descendants are not destroyed. Why? Because of my unfailing love. Then he goes on to say, from the beginning of the time, you guys keep turning away from me and my decree. And here's one of the ways you do that. So what we just read in Psalms 107, he's saying they willfully went against God, they went against his decree, and they went against his way. He said, here's one of the ways you did it. You stop giving your tithes and offering, you rob me. And bring the tithes because you're cursed, and you're cursed even this whole nation because of it. Again, this is all about his unfailing love. This is not about God trying to collect money. I'm trying to get you from the place that you're even suffering financially. You've seen yourself suffering in physical ways. You've seen yourself through sickness and disease and curses. And he said, well, this one is cursed with a curse. So I don't know what kind of curse they had before, but now the financial one, I guess that's the double one, because now you can't even pay your bills. You know, if you're sick, that's a curse. If you're sick and homeless, that's cursed with a curse. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm taking from that. Okay. Not only are you sick, you can't even buy food to eat or get the medicine to feel better. You curse with a curse. So that's how I took that. You can take that however you want. But watch this. The point is this, he says, so come back to the place of my decree. In this case, it happens to be financial. But he says, come back to the place of my decree. And if you do that, my unfailing love will pour out on you. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you don't have a room to receive. So he's saying, you're cursing me by cursing my word. And as a result, you're cursed with a curse. But his ultimate desire here is to get you back to the place so he can pour out on you unfailing love. You moved. Come on back. Amen. You got out from under my covering. Come on back. You willfully went against my word. Come on back so I can love you like I used to. You moved yourself from the place where the blessings flow. Come back to where the blessing. The food still being served 24/7. The fountain's running over with fresh water all the time. Listen, you got all the flavors of drink you want all coming out the fountain for free. It's there. But you have left the place that you can receive my provision, my unfailing love, my covering. I feel like sometimes I disappointed God. Okay? Did you? Can you disappoint God? Real question. To disappoint God, you got to do something he didn't expect you to do. Can you do something God don't expect you to do? No, you don't disappoint God. But your spirit, that is his spirit living in you, feels convicted. It feels troubled. And Jesus said that. If your heart condemns you not, you have peace before the Father. So the way I took that, see, so if your heart condemns you, you don't have peace before the Father. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, but if your heart condemns you, I know all things. I'm greater. Like, I can even get you past that. Even if your heart condemns you, the love is unfailing. There's always a door for you to walk right back in. There's no temptation taking you but what is common to man. But God is faithful in every temptation to provide the way of escape. What a mighty God we serve. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? He's a mighty God that is capable of loving you in spite of you. Capable of taking care of you. But he's saying, just return. Just return, and then I will take care of you. Just return. Just return. Just return. Somebody say, just return. Just return. So he said, I will not only pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive, I prevent the pest from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not drop before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. So God said, listen, I know a couple of people right now that's going through situations financially. And I've had people say to me, but I tithe, okay? And I give my offerings, okay? And God said to me, but do they receive my unfailing love? Do they expect my unfailing love? Do they know that no matter what they do, I'm loving them? And do they think by paying their tithes, they're paying like an extortion fee to keep me from beating them up instead of receiving my unfailing love? Do they know they're a delightful land? And do they know that I rebuke the devourer for them?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Do they know that I rebuke the devourer for you? Let me say that two more times. Do you understand that all this time you spend in rebuking the devil, God says, return to me. In this case, he's talking tithes, but I'm telling you it's across the board. That's what we saw in Psalm 107. Just return to me. Repent, and I'll rebuke the devil for you.
Yes.
I'll lock him down. What do I need to do? He said, well, tell me before. Tell me before. Wow. He said, listen, son, all I need you to do is attest to what my word promises, that I take care of you and rebuke the devourer. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they were going back and forth with this ailment. And they called me for maybe the fourth, fifth time for prayer. And I said, I was getting ready to pray, and then I said, no, I'm not going to pray. God just told me not to pray. We prayed about this five times. Why don't you just receive and stand on what God said? He said, you're healed. We believed for it. We confessed it. You louder than me because you were in pain. So why am I praying again? And that very moment, that person literally received their healing. Said for the rest of the day, that was it. That they haven't had that issue. Every now and then they'll get a little flare up and they go like, nope, not receiving it. It's God's unfailing love. It's not how hard you believe or how strong you believe or how powerfully you rebuke the devil. No, babies, no. It's the unfailing love of God. Just line yourself back up to where I am. Is that a physical place? No, it's a place of heart. All the stuff that you did that put you on the outside started in the heart. And the thing that brings you back starts in the heart. All of it's heart, it's not physical. So if you're a tither, if you're a giver, and you still see lack, maybe you need to go before God and say, God, I really have not expected your unfailing love. I have not given into it. Let's wrap this up today. And this series finally gets wrapped up. But let's bring this home. Let's go to one more place. Ready? Go with me to John chapter 3. And you should figure out where I'm going from there. Let's go to 16. We're going to go back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, or one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Wow. How much and how deep is this everlasting love. That he has his chosen people. They go in and out and in and out and in and out of his covenant. And if you ever walk through the Old Testament, and I did that like not too long ago, I just listened to the whole thing. I put it on, just let it just go. And I got to tell you something. To my shock and dismay, when he talked about the prophets or the leaders that followed him with their whole heart and kept his commandment, I would say, if I would say out of 100%, it looked like maybe it was only like 5 to 10% who did. It's like you would see this man follow God with his heart, but then his kids didn't, and then his kids' kids, and this, and then that. And then the next king would come in, and he would do the will of God. And then it would go on and on and on and on and on, where they brought idols in. Even Solomon, in all of his great wisdom and stuff, toward the end of his life, he worshiped idols. He brought them in through his wives, and he let them keep their idols up, and they had their idols, and he began to give into serving idols with his wives. This is Solomon. In all of this, God, could you find a good hearted, serve you without question man anywhere that would just stick to what you said and do what you tell him to do? Could you find one? And you look all through the Old Testament and see how we just turn our back on God again and again and again and again. Again, look at the world today. But God so unfailing loved the world. So unfailing love. So no matter what you do, I love you. I send my son. Back then, thousands of years ago, no. Again and again and again. What he did lives on. He still sends his son for anybody who will receive him and anybody who will accept him and anybody who will come back into the right place with him, this time through my son. The other time there were all these rules and ordinances and there were sacrifices, there were things you had to do. But now just to accepting my son, just to accepting my son, I invite you back in. I invite you back in. I put you back in. You're in. And everything I have is yours. The fountain's flowing, the streets of gold. Just come back. God's unfailing love says, just return. Just repent. Just come back. And receive the love that never stops flowing. It's eternal. It's everlasting, from before you were born to long after you're gone all into eternity. God is love. He loves you. He wants to love on you. He wants to continue loving you, but he wants us to learn that love so that we can be a light to mankind. Yeah, we have a pantry. We feed people every Saturday. Okay, but that's not unfailing love either. I want to learn about this unfailing love. I want to know more about it. I want to be a better example of it because I know I have not been. And I want to even take offenses and turn them over to his unfailing love and walk in that. That's big for me right now. I want to figure that out. God will show me through his spirit. And I don't mean figure it out in my mind. I mean in my spirit. I want to receive, maybe it's a better word, the full magnitude of God's unfailing love. God loves you, saints. He loves you so much that the word love is just not good enough. It's a terrible word because it's stuck within our human intellect. But the agape love of God is a love that's unfailing. It's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to make God feel anything for you but love. And when you step out of his will and you feel the pains of judgment, he's still saying, but the option is to lead you back home. And if it leads you back home, The blessings have never left. They don't have to be restored. They never left. You just now continue in what was once yours all along. You just come back to your room. He kept it the same. He ain't changed nothing. Right there waiting for you. God loves you, saints. God loves you. And he'll do anything he can to bring you back to his love. So come back to his love. It's unfailing. Repent. Return. Receive the fullness of God's love. In the name of our Savior, God's blessings be unto you. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we really need to understand. We need to know that love. And we need to know that peace that passes understanding in that love. We need to understand the unfailing love. And we ask you to shoot us today with a high potency dose of it. That vaccinate us with your love. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to understand that love and that peace that passes all understanding. We need it. We are hungry for your presence. And we know that that love brings us into your presence. We are thirsty for your truth. Because that truth makes us free. We know that truth, and that truth makes us free. And I've come to the realization that all of that is hidden in your love. It's buried in your love. It's stashed in your love. It's all of the wisdom, the insight, the prosperity, the peace, the understanding, the knowledge of God. All of these things that we've been seeking and pray about all this time that you've been having me teach is all buried in, hidden in your love. We need your love, Lord, and that unfailing love that only you can give. God, we trust you for it. We know you said if any of us lack wisdom, you would give it to us and upbraid them not. And so I also know if we ask for your love, which your wisdom is buried in, and it is buried in your wisdom, you will give it to us and upbraid them not. I speak a word of peace and blessing over everybody in this message today and those who will hear it later. I pray for everybody who's dealing with any unforgiveness or hurt, or shame or bitterness or anything that the enemy is trying to put on them, that they today are free. They are liberated. They are liberated today from that lie, from that pain, from that suffering. I speak today peace and ease over each and every person's heart right now. Clear direction, Father, not clouded by anything, but clear in your love. Clear, clean, crystal clean. And let that white hot love of yours burn away all the infirmities of our lives. We submit to it. Help us stay in it. I pray, Lord God, that this is not just a good message for today that they forget about, but it stays with us forever and ever and continues to grow and manifest into a full-blown God experience inside of us. We love you and we thank you for it. And we agree for it. Those of you say, I agree for it, Lord God. Say, I stand for it, Lord God. Say, it's mine to have and I have it, Lord God. Your unfailing love flowing through me and flowing out of me. Into me from you, Lord, and out of me to the world that you've called me to. I receive it with all my heart. And I will learn you, Lord, from this day forward, through your love, your unfailing love, your agape love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's been a pleasure sitting here on the couch talking to you. I felt like I needed to sit down today and just kind of like do this message, but let it be more like a family talk. I hope it blessed and encouraged you. I'm getting more and more comfortable with Zoom, but nothing is like being in your presence when I'm there and I get to see you. And that will be soon. I love you very much. Bless you and have a wonderful day.